He hadn't been on in about a month and a half. A couple weeks ago, the Pentagon released a bunch of new UFO, UAP stuff. I want to analyze that. A little more juicy than what they released before. What's really happening with that in disclosure? Dark journalist Daniel Liss, former Wall Street Journal writer, bestselling author, documentary filmmaker, and more joins us. And then in the fourth hour, back to calls and all the other news I haven't hit and on Flock. You know, but right now, let's jam in a few more calls. Joe in Nebraska, Marine, on the Iran situation. What's your take on it, sir?
Hey, Alex. Good to talk with you. Hey, first off, that first guy you had on, typical, trust me, bro, I was a team guy. I know better than everybody else, but yet I don't have anything to offer you in regards to information or what the master plan is.
Yeah, I kept saying, give me some beef. Where am I wrong? You couldn't tell me.
Yeah, that's typical. The team guys, that's Joe Kent, you know, the guy who told Trump exactly how this was going to go down that Trump couldn't listen to. Team guys are Valhalla VFT. I know you have him on quite often. You know, team guys are Sean Ryan. And anybody who's been there and done that, you know, is pretty much on board with the same tune here. This is a bad deal. You know, he wants to say Iran's not a worthy adversary. Well, I don't know what team he was on, but we've been fighting Iran's proxies for the last 30 years, and now we're fighting the whole burrito. So
I mean, I'd say Iran's 10 times worse than Iraq. We were just put in there to be a shooting gallery before, and I mean, that's when I was like, what are you talking about? The Pentagon says, that's why we never did this before, is that is the scenarios just go from bad to worse, and we're living it, and he just says, you're saying Trump's dumb. Well, he's either ignorant or he's evil on this subject.
Yeah, you know, and that there's something to that, and that's why, you know, Joe Kent laid this out for Trump, and you know, they had war gamed this out. We knew exactly what was going to happen. We knew that Iran was going to shut down the Strait of Hormuz, and we look at what the Houthis did over there in the El Mandab Strait. I believe that's what it's called. You know, they gave the Navy and our Burks a run for their money. What was that, a couple years ago? And we ain't been back since. You know, so it just goes to show that these adversaries that we don't think are up to snuff. Well, war is different now with these drones, man. You know, they can shut down the strait with a few couple grand worth of drones. That's a problem when we're shooting $100,000 missiles or $1 million missiles.
And now Trump's talking about ground forces.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing, Alex. So Joe Kent gave Trump the scoop on this, and you know, Trump decided not to listen to him for whatever reason that was. I don't know whether he's stupid or whether there's something going on with him and with him and Bibi. Now I think that Bibi's got something on Trump. I don't know what it is, but that's the only reason I could see a Trump who portrayed himself as the alpha, the buck stops here. You know, the uncontrollable non-politician coming in to make America great again, but is absolutely cucking for BB. And so I'm not sure what the hell the deal is with that, but it makes me think that BB's got something on Trump that's got Trump backed into a corner, or else we wouldn't be in this thing to begin with. I think what we need to do first thing, first and foremost, and this only makes sense to do if Trump is actually for America, is to cut BB off from their money and cut them off from their weapons. Because the first thing BB does when we go to war in Iran is goes and starts a war with his neighbors, and not to mention the genocide they've been committing in Palestine. So first thing, if we want to have any credibility at the table with Iran, and that's how our last peace deals fell apart, is we can't keep...
And that's what Joe Kent is explaining. You've got to sell Israel no. And he tells them no, and they do whatever they want. Thanks for the call. Excellent points. And it's a false equivalency. I'm not for Mondami or the Red-Green Alliance. They want to arrest Netanyahu. He has diplomatic immunity. When he's there at the UN, he can't do that. It's not that I'm not for Netanyahu's arrest. The point is, it's not the time or place. Trump comes out and says, Benjamin Netanyahu will not be arrested in any way, shape, or form while in the United States of America. He is fighting against the Islamic Republic, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and funded Hamas and protected him. Give me a break. So it's a false equivalency, but that's where we are. I got one more caller, Chuck, in Oregon Army. I'm going to finish up with him and then go to Dark Journalist. You do not want to miss this. This is coming up. What's happening with disclosure? It was going to be so big. What happened? He's got some incredible information straight ahead. Stay with us and share the live feed on X at Real Alex Jones right now and Rumble.com. The Alex Jones Show live.
Fellow Americans, I'm back. The Nixon 28 collection is now available, and I must say, it looks tremendous. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and pick yours up today. You'll be glad you did.
plane!
Ultimate Power Drink Mix. The fantasy is real, and it's delicious. Visit the alexjonesstore.com today.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Daniel List.
Receiving this transmission.
Coming up now. At Dark Journalist on X. Follow him there. At Dark Journalist. All right, Daniel List is there. I appreciate him holding for a moment. I want to finish up with this one caller. One caller who's former Army. Really appreciate the military calling in. And you heard all of them but one guy who said he was military but was very nebulous said I was right. But, I mean, you can see I'm right. I don't want to be right about this. I'm not a fan of the mullahs. Chuck in Oregon, Army, your take on the Iran situation. Go ahead.
I think the decision to occupy Iran with American soldiers has already been made. This is why Donald Trump is telling everybody that we were at war with Vietnam for 19 years, even though and that's not the case, but what it really that is mentally preparing the American public for a long-term commitment to keep the basically act as a port authority over there and for the long term. And we can all look back to, I guess, maybe as early as 1997 after Deng Xiaoping died in China. Boris Yeltsin was the president of Russia at that time. They came together and they formed what is now known as the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which Iran joined as a full-fledged member back in, if I remember correctly, June of 2023. So really what this is, in my, from my perspective, this is a proxy war, and we're not only fighting Iran, we're fighting Russia and China because they're all on the same team of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization.
Bingo! All the calls were great, but you just nailed it. And this is a proxy war about the dollar, and I think it's backfiring. It's hurting the dollar, and it's about stopping the IMEC corridor and everything you just said. And then Israel used its lobby to get it because it wants to be able to grab more land while it's at it. People say, oh, you're covering for Israel. No, Israel's a subcomponent to this, but got us into the war with their lobbying power. So a foreign power has drug us into this. Where do you see this going? So I guess you don't see Trump off-ramping this. He's sleepwalking us into us, what you're saying? He dropped off. All right, excellent caller. Well, we just stated it there at the end, so that's where we are. All right, Daniel List is written for the Wall Street Journal. He's an author, filmmaker, you name it, one of the leading experts on UAPs, UFOs, disclosure, the real facts, the history, Protect X, the dark group that goes around killing people and suppressing things. There's another good group. And we're seeing a civil war with all that right now. I want to get his take on the latest tranche released a few weeks ago, declassifications, a little bit more juicy than what we saw. But overall, I would say much of the so-called disclosures are nothing burger, years in the making, even a Steven Spielberg movie lined up with it was basically about psychic connection to the aliens, just like Close Encounters of the Third Kind was. I predicted that. It wasn't hard. He's obsessed with that. So they're trying to launch like a new religion and saying this discredits not other religions, not Hinduism or Islam, but it discredits Christianity. So that from Hollywood. But as usual, List has the story behind the story, the news behind the news, and how it ties into Richard Nixon and so much more. So Daniel List at Dark Journalist on X. Everybody should follow you there. Where would you like to start? It's been over a month since you've been on. You're gracious to join us here today.
Well, it's fantastic to see you, Alex. And the new set looks fantastic as well. I just want to say.
This is just better and better. This is the interim backup, but the crew's doing a great job, and we're covering the news.
That's great. Well, I'll tell you one of the amazing things that's been going on is that was the fourth UFO file release. And, you know, Luna said, well, that's the meat and potatoes. And she's in charge of the D-class committee and all that. Well, if that's the meat and potatoes, everyone's going to starve to death because there wasn't very much in there. What is important, I think, are the stories around these releases, which is the missing scientist story we've gone deep on, and some of the unusual background to the story about Trump and his relationship with the UFO file. I think it's coming into play more and more. And there's a deep story back there with an agent of the Houston plan that I spoke to. And his name was Robert Merritt. And he claimed that Nixon left a time capsule in the White House relating to UFO disclosure. Now, Merritt had a long background. He came all the way through Watergate. He was a CI. He worked for the FBI. He was an informant. And he was a special henchman doing little jobs in the background there for President Nixon as part of the Houston plan, which was so illegal and so outside of the bounds of regular intelligence work that even J. Edgar Hoover and the CIA were like, you know, you can't have the Houston plan going around out there doing the bidding of Nixon. And they were jealous of it as well. There was a UFO component to Merritt's testimony. And what I found in going back into the history of President Nixon is he was very deeply involved in the UFO file from the time he was VP to Eisenhower and all through his own presidency.
And let's go back for people that don't know what I'm showing the Washington Post about this. Richard Nixon set in stone, explain what this time capsule is. That's fascinating. Take your time here.
Yeah, this is fascinating. What we have now is the U.S. Geological Survey. And in 1972, Nixon placed a time capsule there, and it's in Reston, Virginia. And USGS is very unusual because they're connected with the Cosmos Club, which has a big, it's like the UFO Bilderberg. So the fact that they put the, you know, this major one-ton granite slab there as a time capsule for Nixon has always been a strange piece, and no one really knew what to make of it, and there was no ceremony unveiling it. In that same corridor of time, Watergate had unraveled and all the rest of it, and Merritt went and met and had his final meeting with Nixon in the White House. And Nixon said, I'm putting this letter away in the White House, and I'm saving it in a time capsule. So he wanted it, you know, for future generations to get his work on the UFO file. And a lot of these presidents did that through a lot of these stealth letters that are left behind. There's an LBJ X letter that's never been opened, for example, at the LBJ Library there in Texas. And we know Reagan and the other presidents have done this. So this is kind of the creme de la creme at the end when they release the UFO file. You can see the action of all these presidents in the background operating under the secrecy. The problem has been that the presidents have gotten outside of the bounds of the true UFO file. And so the intelligence agencies and a group called X-Protect has been running it in the meantime and really basically blackmailing the bureaucrats that are involved around the secrecy. So you have this unusual structure going on in the background. We know about the deep state. We've heard about the breakaway civilization. The X-Protect group operates right in that shadowy corridor between the intelligence agencies and the aerospace companies. But Nixon was in the heart of it. And the stories that I got from Merritt, who is now deceased, he's passed away, and I'm letting his information out. He did some information public with me, and some of this other information has been behind the scenes. But he said that Nixon had left this time capsule in the White House, which was just a letter which had information relating to the deep aspect of the UFO file and the formulas that they had obtained And this involved energy, quantum mechanics, and other things that gave them what they called, you know, they said Star Trek was backdated with what they had discovered here. So that deep relationship between Trump and Nixon now comes into play, because we worked on that. We brought that story out and everyone said, yeah, there's one letter between them, big deal. And we were like, no, no, no. You know, and I had found out that Trump had set up Nixon with offices literally there in New York City, in Manhattan, for him to go there, set him up with apartments and all the rest of it. And they had become very close. Finally, the Nixon Foundation released the fact that they had put out 300 different personal letters between the two, going all the way from 1975 to 1994, the death of President Nixon. So what we have there is a deep relationship. And it, of course, we have this with Trump, with his, through his own uncle, through Uncle John Trump and his work with Vannevar Bush, deep in the heart of the UFO file. Vannevar Bush ran the UFO file and his protege was John Trump. If we go all the way back to wartime and we get to 1943, now we have John Trump being sent in by Vannevar Bush to review Nikola Tesla's papers. So this trail of Trump involved with advanced technology in the UFO file is written there in history. Once you bring it forward, you can't unsee it, as it were. And the question is, you know, does that make Trump some magic time lord from the future, whatever? No, it puts him in charge of very specific information and it puts him in the know, which a lot of the presidents have desired to be in the know. And Trump is in the know. The problem is with the UFO releases that they're doing, and there's a clumsy aspect here with, you know, Dr. Phil disclosure and putting Dr. Phil in charge of disclosure and these CIA guys who are like, hey, I'm going to be the next UFO czar and all the rest of it. That's where Trump is sort of going off the rails with this. But he has done some very interesting things, including Space Force and the Golden Dome. And those are attempts to pull that UFO file, the most secret, the top secret inside the United States government, back under executive control, where it has not resided since 1958. You're talking about, you know, almost 70 years of history there where, forget it, the president is out of the loop.
And was it Space Force, his first administration, and now that's also part of that?
It is. Yeah, Space Force was a major attempt to do that. I think that he has a lot more clout coming in this time. And I think part of the problem that we've seen with people like Isaacman originally, you know, now he's in there and he's solid. He's the director of NASA. And now NASA can talk about UFOs. You see how this works. And this has changed. He practically changed his tune overnight. That's good. The problem is what we're getting with some of the deeper agencies is this weird kind of schizophrenic thing where, you know, you have some people coming out who are major figures like J.D. Vance and others saying, well, UFOs are demons and, you know, let's talk about it from a demonic level, which is fine if you want to believe that. There's no problem with that. However, as far as a vice presidential statement, you know, and as far as a government statement on UFOs, it's absurd. What you're looking at is a phenomena of technology that is moving far beyond what we see. So that either means that we're out of the loop or we have a cosmic neighbor, right? It's one of the two. And if we're out of the loop, that means it's a second group here operating with the advanced technology. That's why the stories around the missing scientists get into weird loops. You know, we had this very unusual story of that FEMA official who said, you know, he was like, oh, I was teleported to a Waffle House in Georgia. He was totally serious, Greg Phillips. And he said, you know, I was having a great time with my friends there in Rome, Georgia, and boom, I got teleported 13 miles away. He got booted out of his position and everything else. But this is a sitting official of the Trump administration. What was he trying to convey?
And then we find out, Daniel, let's elaborate. I don't mean to interrupt, but just to see, so we don't forget. We have the chief science czar a year and a half ago, right when Trump gets in, saying we now control time and space. We have secret technology for energy and weapons. And we see more and more real evidence of that. And I don't like being used for disinformation, and it's not my fault, but this, people take what you've said and take it out of context. I said on Rogan like 10 years ago, and before that, I said there's real extraterrestrials and there's advanced human technology. And I explained, because we have all the ancients and the same images and the same reports by, you know, groups 5,000, 6,000, 3,000 years ago, different continents reporting the same thing. Literally what you see in the first books of the Bible, you know, is mirrored by even, you know, older civilizations. And so people take DMT, it lifts the veil interdimensionally because the optic nerve blocks out most of what it's picking up. They've been able with sensors, you know, to add chips in the brain and things where it can, you know, pick up all the other light spectrum, radiation, you name it. Well, your brain's picking that all up. So we have a filter. So there is interdimensional, which people then, you know, historically, you know, ghosts, demons, all that type of stuff. That's the occult. That's the conjuring. That's those things that are on top of us, beside us in this dimension. Then you've got the extraterrestrials. And as I said, you've got advanced human technology that's trying to reverse engineer it. That is my view. Now I've seen a lot of these known disinfo operatives that put out a lot of stuff mix it together and say, no, that's the aliens, which we need to be very, very clear that this is specifically something different. But the establishment, and I broke this on Rogan 10 years ago, a year later, that he classified that at San Francisco, they're at the Psychic Research Institute with the universities, and out in Japan, other places, they have the DMT drips. They liken them to like astronauts, where they go in for longer, map out what's going on, communicating with these entities. They have certified studies with groups of people on the drugs having the same hallucination. That's not a hallucination. When the veil's lifted, and these creatures always basically tell them the same story, we'll give you advanced knowledge, but we want you to basically transcend humanity. We want you to depopulate the Earth. So there's definitely a group of creatures interdimensionally that are doing this, but then there's obviously separately other things, and they want us to believe that the extraterrestrials are violent to build a military response to that. Is that an accurate, that's my view. Do you think that worldview is accurate or wrong?
That's an incredible overview, in fact. And I remember that Rogan discussion, and it was off the charts. At the time, when you were mentioning the breakaway civilization there. and it's amazing because Rogan had a number of alien UFO people come in and give him, the basic line about UFOs and encounters, and they were all military and CIA people, so they didn't really go deep. In fact, your conversation with him went the deepest. That's what you really want to start with. And the consciousness factor is absolutely crucial. And this is where people get into trouble on this as well, and I'm glad you're pointing it out, because when we have these types of experiences that would qualify as psychic experiences, this is what the mystery schools were teaching everyone about, that if you get to a certain level, you can actually see things that you can't see with your ordinary, with the regular untrained eye when it comes to these types of things. So it is a totally different class of things. But when you get a case, like even a classic case of Betty and Barney Hill driving down the highway in New Hampshire and getting grabbed and getting examined and then being traumatized, and Barney Hill, dies just a few years later, he never goes back to work. So he's obviously been through something that, has physical aspects to it directly, and they're dealing with craft. I remember the conversations and the things about Gordon Cooper. He said when he was training in the 1950s, before he went into space, he was doing all these trainings in Germany, and he would get up there and they would do all these maneuvers. And then these UFOs would show up and start doing the exact same maneuvers, but better, and then take off, just disappear. So obviously that technological factor, whatever intelligence is operating there, and Cooper concluded it was an extraterrestrial presence. We don't know if it was an ultra-terrestrial presence, something here, which is advanced beyond us. But that's a factor, for example, on the national security state side, where they looked at it and said, this is the thing we're going to keep the biggest secret around, because it literally defies time and space. When people encounter it, their time and space disappears. You have all those missing time claims and all the rest.
I don't want to go back to that, but let's go back for a moment, because this is so important. You have Spielberg with Close Encounters of the Third Kind in the late 70s, where it's all about psychic. They're all called there. Even though the government doesn't want them there, they make it there. And it's all about, we're connected to you, you're connected to us. His new movie is all about that. And so they're trying to unify the field theory with the interdimensionals, and there's obviously some psychic connection with the aliens, with UFOs, and blur the lines. Or am I wrong in saying there seems to be an attempt to blur the lines?
Well, there's no question. I mean, how coordinated can you get? First of all, as we're doing the actual UFO disclosures, then we have all the movies come out on cue. And, we have the whistleblowers under Chris Mellon, the DOD billionaire's control, going out and, doing these events on the Capitol steps and everything right as the movie's coming out. It's absurd. So obviously it's a coordinated effort. The question is, what's behind it? And I think in the case of Spielberg, someone like that, even in those elite circles, he probably thinks he's bringing forward genuine UFO disclosure and the culture needs this and all the rest of it. But he very specifically, as you pointed out, said, Christianity is going to be challenged by these things. He didn't say the Muslim faith, or he didn't say Judaism. He said Christianity. That's weird. So it shows that they know that their biggest obstacle when it gets to this is, around the UFO file and aliens are Christians. And what they've done is they've underestimated the Christian mindset, in my opinion, because one of the things that we're looking at is, they are now trying to feed this thing about demons. And you can, you know, again, when you get into demonology and all these types of things, you're getting into a deep science, right? You're getting into a deep history of religion. But if you start taking anything that you want to portray as a, like a UFO threat or whatever and labeling it demons, then you're doing this whole thing where you're saying, well, you know, we spent all this money, we disappeared all this money out the back, you know, $20 million, $20 trillion is missing from the budget, but we did it because we were fighting demons in space. And if you go back to some of that initial disclosure in 2017, that's what they were trying to do. They were saying, well, the CIA is heroes. They're fighting demons in space. I kid you not. This was their line originally, and they've tried to modify it. And remember, these guys have been lying from it from the start. Whatever the phenomena is, they're going to lie about it, right? So if anything, you need a citizen investigatory body that reflects itself in Congress and completely denies the influence of the intelligence groups. By the way, it's the DOD billionaire who's controlling the whistleblowers that's releasing all the videos. He's the one they consult. That's why you're getting very lame, kind of crap UFO videos from the Trump administration releases and things we've seen before, because they're all censored videos and they could really be something else. I mean, where's the really good color video of a crisp UFO, you know, that's undeniable? Here's the thing that's going on, I think, behind the scenes is they were thinking, oh, we'll release this, we'll release the UFO technology, and that will justify the threat and the Golden Dome and all the rest of it. Well, they've decided now, they're starting to float these trial balloons saying, no, we want to talk about biologics and we want to get away from the technology question. This is very interesting. It's just started in June that they've started to pull
this. And again, they blur the line about human-animal hybrids that they've created, which is alien. It's never existed. Or synthetic stuff they've created that's never been here. That just means never existed before. But they're also blurring the lines with that.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that they think they're at a position, cloning-wise and otherwise, that they can produce a being that they can say, look, it's an alien. And it's a dead alien or whatever it happens to be. Now, they may have these things directly in the vaults there. There's no question about that. But they can create the false version. And we're talking about them.
Well, let's be clear. 50 years ago, they could grow a human ear on the back of a mouse. So they can cosmetically create a humanoid that looks like whatever they want.
Exactly. And this is the problem. But see, it's the caricature, and they're famous for the caricature. They feed you the thing that you want to see, right? Oh, if you want to see an alien, this is what we're going to show you. But they're not showing the technology. They've decided they're pulling back from that thing that they were going to do originally because they've said, well, maybe these other countries like Russia aren't quite where we are with it. And if we let it out there, you know, not only are we going to explode the idea of industry around this, but the other countries may have caught up with us.
So what you're saying is this round of disclosure, highly coordinated for the last 5 years, culminating in June around disclosure film coming out, was a beta test or a trial balloon to test the waters.
Yes, exactly. And I'll tell you this about Day of Disclosure and that whole piece. If we look at it, the Central Intelligence Agency, people like Clapper and all the rest, they've been involved with Spielberg. They were doing the whole Age of Disclosure documentary that came out.
Stay there. I want to hear you. Let's get into this. Disclosure Day and the CIA, obviously, but he's got the details. What are they trying to do? That's key to understanding what's coming next. You're getting real disclosure here. We'll be right back. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com and talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down, and First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Is not to territorialize information. My goal is to not be the only guy that has really good answers on a wide spectrum of things. But I tell you, I'm very frustrated because all I do is study geopolitics, the economy, world history, esoteric, the elites. And when you study the elites, you really learn how things work because they've got a lot of hidden knowledge, a lot of advanced records. And then you start understanding how the system really works versus what they're telling you. And there's no way humanity's going to make it if we don't force the disclosure, not just of what's happening interdimensionally or visitors from other worlds or from our own world that have just been here longer than us and just are right there in the shadows. We're not going to make it, folks. And this decision to, you know, just scrap humanity and depopulate us, well, we've heard that before. If you go back to all the ancient cultures, you know, there's times when the gods tell them to get rid of everybody, and then there's another bigger god who's the real god says don't do it. I mean, that is in all of those Middle Eastern cultures going back 6,000 years. It's in the hieroglyphs. It's in the all of it. And so this is the big story. This is the big issue. And we're here covering what is known and what is believed. But all the ancient cultures, from the Mesoamericans to the ancient cultures on the Tigris-Euphrates, all of it tell basically the same story. And there are paintings and cave drawings and you know, again, ancient stone carvings thousands of miles, 10,000 miles away from each other that depict the same stories over and over and over again. So we know, predating the Wright brothers, these aeronautical events were happening. And much of what we see declassified and what people seen mirrors that. But I'll tell you again, I've been alive 52 years. And I'm going to go back to our guest. I tell the story every time he's on because, to me, this is big evidence. I've only seen UFOs one time, and that just means don't know what it is. And I, until recently. And that was when I was like 9 to 8 years old, whatever, driving from my grandparents' ranch 2 hours south of Dallas. And it's middle of the day, and here come three fighters that were stealth fighters. And but it wasn't for years later, actually like 5 or 6 years later, Gulf War I, when I'm like 14, that is released. And I'm like, oh, yeah, the stealth fighters. And they had like the ocean, gray, blue, camo deal. And they were going slow, and all of a sudden afterburners, and my dad said, that's something but secret military aircraft flying down I-45. They're like 300 yards off I-45 at like 200 feet. That's all I ever saw. I didn't know what was. I mean, you'd see something sometimes real high, a light in the sky. My dad would say, oh, that's probably a weather balloon or something. Or we'd go out to the desert and we'd watch satellites, go over. And they're always on the same track. My dad'd say, oh, yeah. He'd say, I bet about 10 minutes or whatever, it comes back around. And we'd have big binoculars out looking at them. Now I was out of Big Bend last year. And, of course, my cameras couldn't pick it up because it's so small. But I'm watching stuff up there in space. Red dots, yellow dots flying around, disappearing. You see a satellite come by, it's up there. I only started seeing this recently. I told you it happened twice, like the last 4 or 5 months, where I saw obviously human drones, but they were flying nine of them red, and then they merge a couple of miles out and then disappear. I saw a huge, what I thought, stone meteorite come in with low cloud cover. I walk out smoking a cigar like 4 a.m., just woke up, cup of coffee, picked up a cigar butt I was smoking the night before, sitting there, and I'm like, boom! And then I see these orbs come out, ziggle around, and then disappear. So I know suddenly, everybody's seeing these fireballs, suddenly stuff's off the scale. Because if I never saw any of this till I was 52, then what the hell's going on? And then you got interrupted by the break, getting into all the big disclosure, the CIA tying it into Disclosure Day, Daniel List.
Oh, Alex, that's a fantastic point, actually, which is what's going on with this thinning of the veil. But it is true that historically, UFOs have operated in waves, as if they're coming in on certain time waves. If you go back and look for these different waves in time, 1997 is a huge wave of UFO sightings and encounters. If you go back to 1973 and further in the history, 1958, gigantic, flyovers in DC in 1952. And then there's a layoff period. It's almost like the culture absorbs it. Or these things only come in through certain types of time and astronomical alignments. It's quite possible. The entire ancient cultures you're referring to were set up around astrological and astronomical alignments. So they were looking, that was their whole power grid system. I think one of the important things that's been revealed in all this is the idea that, it's just off world, I think is limiting, because the idea that we had the ancient technology ourselves is also a powerful, powerful disclosure. And that's the thing I think they want to keep us away from, very honestly, because they want to put us on the altar of technology. Well, it's higher technology this and higher technology that. But in fact, what was going on in Atlantis and human history all the way back there, we were talking about the Two-Eye Stone, the Ezekiel ships, all those things are all Atlantean technology that humanity once raised itself up to a point and basically blew itself up. That's the story. That's the Plato story. And that's where we get it. And when you're referring to Sumeria and Enki and Enlil and the good, sort of Nephilim and the bad Nephilim coming in and deciding what we're going to do with humanity, all those stories are there. There's no question they're there for a reason. I think what's important today is when we're looking at it, we have a very clumsy effort at the top. It's some effort at transparency, because they've been holding the secret back for so long. They've been lying for so long about what these things are and what they know about them. I don't think they know everything about them, but the people who are in charge of the UFO file know so much compared to what we know on a public level that you have a schizophrenic situation. So if these things just start showing up all of a sudden, then what? What kind of position are we in with that? So
let me throw this out. I think you just said it, but I'm a little bit dense. And we do know, even historically, the ancients would say, oh, these these stars will show up over the cities and move, and then it happens in waves. That's in all the cultures. So obviously we know this stuff comes in waves that's not human, or is us from another, you know, time, another dimension, breakaway civilization that decided to, you know, keep it from most of the public. I know that's one of the main theories, at least a part of it. But obviously then they were scared in the last 5 years building up to this summer and this spring. It was actually this fall and winter and spring, knowing on the timetable with all the ancient stuff they've got that this would be the time. They weren't sure how big it would be, and so maybe they were trying to get ahead of it.
Absolutely. And they're trying to put their narrative out there. The narrative is crucial because psychologically, that's how we'll accept the whole thing one way or another. The narrative has to be perfect. They've tried to build up the narrative to be, well, there's a UFO threat out there. They haven't really worked on, the alien god thing is something they have in their back pocket. And there are certain tech bro billionaires that are interested in this. But what's going on the intelligence level is they're in love with the UFO threat idea because they're in love with the idea of emergency powers. And they've buttoned the system down that they can order emergency powers. And one thing I think you've taught the audience and just the public in general over these years of doing the show is that you can't wait until you're in the emergency situation. You can't wait till you're in the soup. You have to get ahead of that curve. Just like when COVID showed up, it was too late. They were already doing the things. There were already lockdowns, you know, social distancing, put your mask on. And there was all that social conditioning that was happening. If you do this, if you look at the UFO file, that's going to make the COVID operation look like a walk in the park because you're introducing the idea of another species. You're introducing the whole idea of a threat. And then you have all these intelligence agencies probing the psychology of the American public and the global public about how they can pull this off and how much of a foundation they have. And they have the best filmmakers, you know, people like Spielberg and others. In earlier times, you know, they tried to use kind of the best directors that they had then. That's where you got Kubrick and 2001 and all that. They were trying to lay a foundation. There's no question about it. So the question is, how far along, you know, what is it that we can do to blow the whistle on this situation now? And it's to get rid of this phony version of disclosure that they're doing and go and have a congressional hearing, for example, over the missing scientists. The missing scientists were dealing with the UFO file. The top general who was involved with it, Neil McCasland, he was a major general. He disappeared in a flash. He's gone. He was in charge of the UFO file. That's a national security crisis. They've blown it off. I mean, we brought the story to a fever pitch. We presented it to the White House. We literally got it up to the point where the White House was commenting on it. And, you know, we broke the story back here in December because of Nuno Lorero, who was an MIT professor who went missing, and he was dealing with neutron star mergers. Well, that's the recreation in a lab of a black hole. So, you know, he's stepping on toes, obviously.
Some of these are professional hits. But I interrupted you with the break. We had to take that hard break. You were getting into the CIA and connections to Spielberg and his new movie.
No question. Well, what you have with Spielberg is a long history of being in the know. When he presented E.T., the movie, for example, he did it at the White House, and President Reagan came around afterwards and said, everyone in this room knows that that is fact and not fiction. So, you know, Reagan was in the know. He understood there was another group going on here, and he also was deep, deep in the UFO file, and they had portrayed it to him on the CIA level that it was a threat. So you have a number of these appearances of Reagan saying, what if there are an alien threat? What would happen? And Gorbachev came out in 2009 famously and talked to Charlie Rose and said, yeah, you know, Reagan took me aside at Reykjavik. Everyone thought that summit was a failure. But in fact, he put his arm around me and said, we have a UFO threat. Will you fight it with us? I mean, that's on the record now. So the Russian premier and the United States president talked about a UFO threat. So there's no question that they were dealing with that on a strategic level. If you go back and you really penetrate that history, you see that Gorbachev and others were trying to prevent a nuclear exchange over the UFO file. And Kennedy originally had tried to do this himself with Khrushchev. He had said to his own intelligence agencies, release now our most high threat cases and what they look like, what the craft look like to the Russians. I want to share our UFO file with them. This is where Kennedy gets into major trouble. There were all these problems they had with Kennedy anyway, but his interest in the UFO file and his background in the UFO file, that's the ultimate thing. That's the ultimate card. And as a matter of fact, the Watergate attorney, Douglas Caddy, said that when he was speaking to his friend and, you know, basically somebody who had a close family friend who'd been the top of the CIA, Howard Hunt. Hunt took him aside before he went to prison and said Kennedy was assassinated over the UFO file. This thing has a long, long history. A number of officials have come out and said, oh yeah, Kennedy was doing all this stuff around the UFO file. We couldn't talk about it back then. Well, you can talk about it now, and they better talk about it soon, because the type of mealy-mouthed UFO congressional hearings that they've had aren't doing anything. They aren't moving the needle at all. As a matter of fact, they're moving us into a position of a bullseye with this whole UFO threat piece being hoisted upon us. And really what you can do with the UFO threat, you can organize a COG program, and you can make it emergency powers coming directly from NORAD. And the continuity of government program is set up for a national emergency, nuclear or X. And in this case, the UFO threat fits that perfectly. So it's very dangerous when you get into false disclosure. And that's why people who are on the inside, you know, in the NGA and the NRO and these other groups, on the intelligence side, the NSA, they cannot be allowed, in the CIA, they can't be allowed to run disclosure because they're pushing a narrative.
And I know we don't like to infight. I know we don't like to stir up trouble and try to be the police here. We're not. But when I see on the other big shows, most of these people, you can tell it's a script. You can tell it's to be just, they're in the bottom of a base with the gray aliens. Or they're on a phone call and heard about it. Or they always heard it from somebody else. Or they're out in the middle of somewhere and these aliens run by in the desert. And it's always tied to some movie production or something. And they've been authorized because they have classifications, but they're a whistleblower. The real ones get killed or disappeared. And you're sitting there watching this. They just flood disinfo on purpose. But in reality, whether it's the high priest of this early on, H.G. Wells, and then after him, the inventor of the telecommunications satellite, theoretically, it was the Russians first launched at Sputnik, Arthur C. Clarke, and all of their writings where they would give the awards to certain groups, certain messages they wanted, even if it's the Foundation series that isn't even about aliens, but it's about directed evolution by an elite. And if you look at 2001 Space Odyssey or Childhood's End or any of that is, there's the good aliens, and the Christians say don't follow them, because they don't want you to evolve, and they're directing our evolution with a monolith or a beam from Saturn or Jupiter, you know, with a relay on the moon, and that you're going to go up to this wormhole and transcend and come back as the star child to Lucifer, and it's actually in the book, Lucifer's the new sun that forms, out after the star child is born. And if you really get down to Spielberg's movies and all of it, that's what this is they're here directing our evolution right now. And that goes into the interdimensionals and what they're actually trying to do. Whereas you get into the rules of God and his many flocks in the Bible and God saying, I have, many flocks I take care of. The main rule of a non-aggressive satanic entity is that it does not mess with your free will. It does not take your rights. It does not sabotage you. It lives and let live. And obviously those are the watchers, whatever you want to call it, in God's pantheon. And I've had dreams where God like shows me something, says this just to show me. And then I literally get the download or I go back to sleep and get the information. And that's what God basically told me. And it showed me all these countless civilizations, all these things, how it works. Because these things are energy. So they decide when their body or their incarnation's gone, they decide to build their own system separate from God. And what it basically creates is their own little universes that always become hells of their own making. And I was allowed to look into all these countless hells, and I looked into a few and didn't want to look anymore. But people can say, well, that's insanity. Okay, well, I mean, I'm not, notice me never attacks me for this. They know it's really serious. It only happened a little bit when I was younger, and as I've gotten older, it's more and more. And then I've demonstrated it on air to people. Okay, I've been told to tell you this is going to happen. Trump will announce it this time. 3 hours later, he does. That wasn't coordinated. And then more and more, I probably sat there and focused right now for 10 minutes. And do it. I mean, literally, it's just, for me, it's almost, I don't want to say it's embarrassing. It's weird to sit there and I wouldn't even call it being like a channel or whatever. It's like a relay or something. But I can assure you, folks, this is all real. Go ahead.
That's amazing. You know, and to do the kind of reporting and the things that you do tying into these different things, you need a very well-developed intuition and instinct for all of it and all these different aspects. When you get into the metaphysical side, I think it's fascinating because one of the things that you've done now with bringing forward the UFO file conversation, this is on a different level. And I've said this before, when you get UFO people and you get deep state people, the deep state people really understand how the government operates, and they understand assassination teams and death squads and things of this nature, and, you know, blackmail and reputations being destroyed, all that type of stuff. The people on the UFO side only have one thing going for them. They don't have any of that deep research pedigree in the background. The only thing they have going for them is they know that there's a UFO file. So they have that great advantage. And I've talked over the years, you know, to people who are in the deep state side, and they've said, oh, I don't want to deal with that UFO thing. It's too much of a circus, you know, too many stories and all the rest of it. And then you go to the UFO people and they say, oh, the deep state stuff is too political for us, you know. So that's where the disconnect has been. If you merge those two things, as we do with dark journalism, here's what happens. You get the best of the understanding and the research around the deep state profile, and then you also get the other piece, which is the deeper piece around psychic information, or if it relates to mystery schools, there is a background.
And when you study this, that's what the whole elite is involved in. So some would say, well, what are you doing talking about it? You're part of the occult. No, occult just means hidden. They keep it hidden. Yeah. I'm trying to have it unhidden. I'm not like some guy that even knows. I even know how all this works. I just know that if you're running around assassination teams, I don't think you're getting the knock on your shoulder about this. And that's how God works in mysterious ways. It's not just me. There are, I think you agree, exponentially people are seeing their ESP, their psychic powers, their connections, their intuition is intensifying right now. And I think that goes in these cycles. I think they know that's here.
It's true. It's interesting. In spiritual and mystical circles, they call that a quickening, right? There's something in the collective, the human collective, that knows you're going to be hit with this. Part of it is the AI piece. There's no question about that as well. And that is a whole Atlantean aspect where they tried this once before too. Didn't work out so great because, you know, they couldn't really fully determine, is this thing human or is this thing a robot, you know? And so when they merged the two, they had really big problems with automatons. So that's the Casey and Rudolf Steiner story, telling us our ancient history. You'd already done this. You already made robotics. You already made cyborgs. And you already had crafts that not only could fly anywhere that you told them to, but they could fly through things. So that's quantum mechanics. And, you know, when we get into those levels, it's interesting. These are the things that we're hitting on now. When you have public officials, like we started the show off with this official, the FEMA official, who says, I was teleported to a Waffle House. Why is this guy even saying that? I mean, it's remarkable. He obviously experienced something. And he obviously was in the know about something. If you go into the missing scientist story, you'll look at the story of Anthony Chavez. Well, Chavez was somebody, now they've found out he was working on a quantum group looking to teleport from distances. And they were teleporting objects from distances using this advanced technology. This guy disappears. You know, I don't think it's any secret either that the other people who disappeared, you know, when this guy talks about being teleported to Rome, Georgia, it's very unusual because the Novartis meetings with the missing scientist, Jason Thomas, he worked for Novartis. He disappeared up here in Natick, in fact. And this guy, now Novartis, Trump had the meeting with the Novartis CEO in Rome, Georgia, right in the same, within 6 weeks of all that. So there's something going on there. It relates to this advanced technology. I don't think there's any doubt about it. One of the things that I put in my Twitter feed, which is, and it's literally Exhibit 6, and the Exhibit 6 has this whole thing going on where it is an actual video from Lockheed Martin about Looking Glass, and it shows the golden domes as kind of beehives that come down over everything. That's where they're leading things, and this is the nature of the problem. The conversation about the golden dome really needs to come forward.
Let's go ahead and play that clip right now. It's only a minute 32. Exhibit X from Dark Journalist at Dark Journalist on X. Looking Glass, Exhibit 6. Here it is.
Yes.
Watchtower, this is Looking Glass. We have a missile launch detection.
Confirmed. We have missile warning. Confirmed threat and report confidence.
Continuous tracking confirmed. Inbound threat confidence is high.
Engagement authorized. Confirm target and initiate interceptor launch.
Confirmed. Single missile interceptor away. Green interceptor on track and link established. Interceptor onboard targeting active. Multiple objects detected. Target assignment initiated. identified. All target objects assigned. Intercept in 3, 2, 1. Watchtower, this is Looking Glass. System has confirmed intercept.
We confirm. All target objects eliminated. Moving to status green.
And that's to counter what you see with Iran and everybody else. And whoever has that has the dominance. Oh, Daniel, we'll go right back to you in a moment. I wanted to just play this so we get an idea of what Golden Dome's really all about. Or is it really just about that? Daniel List, top researcher on aliens, UAPs, breakaway civilizations. Please continue.
Wow, fascinating. Yeah, and they're under attack there in a major way. And I think that is an entire disaster, and I'm glad you're doing the reporting that you're doing on Iran, because we need, you know, some real sensible thing about this. This is something that Trump needs to extricate himself from, and he's now in the clutches of the deep state, walking into a huge trap there over in Iran, and that could set the whole world on fire, and World War III could be the result. If anything, you know, all he has to do is get us out of Iran completely. So I think that your research is really sending the administration that message. What I want to say about what we're looking at there at the Lockheed piece is what they're showing with, first of all, they're using the term looking glass, which comes directly out of UFO lore, which is the piece that Dan Burish, the Area 51 whistleblower, came forward and said, they have this device. It's called looking glass. You can see into the future. They can already see the events before they've actually happened, so they know how to respond to them. That's why it just seems like they're beyond everything. Well, that Golden Dome looking glass, whenever they show the Golden Dome in action, they have these little gold hexagons that show up on the screen, and they create a field, an energy field around their objects. And they say, we're tracking these objects, like flying saucers, for example, UFOs, you know, UAP. And they show this hexagon figure, and then they show this kind of beehive effect, and the thing basically disintegrates. That's what they're doing.
Hold
and
on, stay there, stay there. Do a little bit more time with us, please, Dark Journalist. When you start over with this Lockheed ad, explain Looking Glass. When we come back, this is a big deal. And I remember you years ago talking about the Looking Glass technology, seeing the future. So they can, and that's what Crazios, the chief scientist of Trump, said. We control time and space. We can see the future. Really, we'll be right back. America is now 250 years old. July 4th isn't about delicious cheeseburgers and fireworks, though I love them so much. It's about what does America stand for? The globalists cannot have our country survive. They want transhumanism. They want the Great Reset. They want the New World Order. That's why they demonize America. That's why they pay the NBA and the NFL to take a knee during the anthem and push all this communist Chinese garbage. Because what America stands for is antithetical to what they're doing. So, when you go to thealexshowshore.com, we have a whole summer line that just rolled out. We'll show you some of these designs. And most of them, I came up with the concepts. I'm pretty proud of it. I think this is a badass shirt. It's the Betsy Ross flag. And it says, Rebel Scum Since 1776. And the designs just get better from there. And they fund the Second American Revolution happening right now. Because our Revolutionary War never really ended. We're just one continued arc, the flower of the Renaissance, challenging totalitarians and authoritarian scum. Because in truth, they're the scum, we are the future, and we are winning. You wanted 1980-style wife beaters? We got a whole bunch of them with great slogans like, less 1984, more 1776. Got another great shirt, Make Orwell Fiction Again, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And I got to tell you, this fabric, how light it is, how good it feels. I asked the folks at Bigley, can we have some dress shirts? And I sent them an example. This is even better than the shirt I bought that was similar to it. This is awesome. This shirt is so light. It's so great in the summer. Get yours now along with dozens of new designs and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.